Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Exploring the Word. Today, we're going to have a very special broadcast, not our normal Bible teaching, although we'll be back to that on Tuesday. But, of course, our ministry here at Fairview Baptist, a.k.a. Liberty Church of Edmond, I have special guests with me today. First of all, my co-pastor and good friend, Dan Fisher, who I have muzzled at the moment, only let him talk when we have to. And then a gentleman I'll give another introduction to in a moment, but a gentleman that I have come to respect as one of the greatest Christian political minds in the state of Oklahoma. Someone who knows as much about Oklahoma politics as anybody that I've ever met in my life. But let me start with this. You know, Oklahoma is supposedly the most conservative state in the Union. We've had two presidential elections where the entire state, all 77 counties, have gone for the more conservative of the two choices. However, we seem to run into roadblocks all the time on trying to see good legislation passed in the state of Oklahoma. Dan, of course, you know, you and I both ventured into politics about the same time. You were successful.
Yes.
I was unsuccessful.
Let's define
depending
successful.
Depending on how you want to look at it. But one of the things that got me was the games that the Republicans, or the Rhino Republicans, play that are inside the party and actually controlling most of the party. And of course, let me say, our platform is excellent. You compare the Republican platform to the Democratic platform, and there's no comparison. Quite frankly, you can't say you're following Christ in your politics and sign on to the Democratic Party platform.
Exactly right.
It's just contrary
you're
to Scripture.
Exactly right.
But you've lived inside the belly of the beast for a couple of terms, and of your own free will chose not to run when you were unopposed. You literally had a shoe-in to stay in office, but you chose not to because you were tired of butting your head against the wall. Tell us a little bit about some of the Republican shenanigans that go on inside.
Well, you know, Paul, I think some of these people are well-intentioned when they run, but somehow they get elected, and between the co-opting that goes on and just the being mesmerized by being the honorable such-and-such, Senator so-and-so, it just kind of goes to their heads, and before you know it, they seem to be there so they can stay there. It's not be there to do what's best for their constituents. It's, I want to get reelected. And so they start doing fundraisers the moment they're elected as freshmen. It was crazy to watch what was happening. I mean, when I'm still trying to figure out where the bathrooms are, my freshman colleagues are doing fundraisers. You know, so, but let me give you an example of something that would just curl the hair of most people if they were to know it. It's a little known fact that in our state constitution here in Oklahoma, even though we have constitutional carry, we have concealed carry, our actual section of our state constitution that guarantees the right to keep and bear arms is very weak and has been so challenged over the years in Oklahoma courts that we'd really kind of hanging by a thread, and that if just the wrong case ended up in front of the wrong state Supreme Court, they could outlaw a lot of our right to keep and bear arms at a state level.
And the Second Amendment really doesn't apply to states.
No, right.
The Second Amendment of the Constitution was to bind the federal government. So technically that could happen.
So when I'm starting to run for office way back in 2012, when I first ran for the legislature, I had a very strong pro right to keep and bear arms for self-defense and to defend ourselves against an overpowering government. Say, Dan, are you aware of this in our state constitution? Well, I wasn't, like every other citizen. So finally, they said, well, would you run legislation to put it in front of the voters to rewrite that section of our Constitution so that we can beef this up? So we got to work on it, had a law professor help us. The NRA, if you want to quote the NRA, said that it passed in its original form would be the strongest language probably in all 50 states. I think that had we been able to get it to a vote of the people, it would have gotten an 80%, I would just imagine. Well, I get it through the House, flying colors. Then we get to the Senate. My co-author in the Senate begins to get a little wobbly in the knees, and so they strike the title, which is a very crafty technique to kill a bill, but make it look like we're trying to keep it alive. That happened to be the now Senate pro tem, but at that time he was just senator. And so we worked it through, but he got it through the Senate. But see, at the end of the session, you have to take it to what is called conference committee. You have to have that title restored. Even though this bill has passed both houses, you have to have that title restored or it can't become a law. Well, lo and behold, the very Republicans, not Democrats, there weren't enough of them to stop it. The very Republicans who had voted for that when it was on the House floor, when they were on the cameras, in this conference committee that most citizens know little if nothing about, killed it. Mm-hmm. And it was not the Democrats that killed it. It was the Republicans who had voted for it previously.
So we have a supermajority control of both legislatures, both sides of the legislature in the state of Oklahoma.
Right.
And we have Republicans in every statewide office. They all profess to be Second Amendment. They all profess to be against abortion. They all profess to be Christian for just
well,
almost 100%.
And against runaway, oversized government. They claim all of that.
Yet, it's not the Democrats that's hindering us from actually
accomplishing these. Not in Oklahoma.
It's actually the Republicans playing politics.
Yes.
Before I introduce our special guest speaker, one of the things that got me to run for office in 2012 against an incumbent Republican was, I believe it was the heartbeat bill. But in a period of 3 years, we had the state legislature pass the heartbeat bill, which basically would end abortion. I mean, it technically doesn't call it murder, but it would end abortion.
Right.
And the then governor, Democrat Brad Henry, vetoed it.
Uh-huh.
Well, we elected a Republican as governor. Mm-hmm. After that, that'd be Mary Fallon. The following year, the House of Representatives passed the bill, sent it over to the Senate, where it died in committee without ever being heard. Then the following year, a similar bill was passed in the Senate,
and was killed
and died
and
without
ever
being heard in the House.
Uh-huh.
So on record, every one of these Republicans could go back and show their voting record.
That's right.
We have a supermajority control. Everybody's pro-life. Everybody campaigns is pro-life. Everybody's on record of supporting it. Nobody's on record of opposing it.
Right.
Yet it still isn't the law because of the games of politics.
Incredible techniques.
And that's
that
why
they use.
These primary runoff elections are so important.
So very, very important.
Our special guest has been a longtime member of our church, but even a longer time friend. Charlie Meadows has a private businessman here in Oklahoma, now retired. Started Oak Pack some 30 years ago, just as sitting around and having coffee with some friends. It developed into quite an influential body of political influencers in the state of Oklahoma. But Charlie, I met years ago, and is as knowledgeable about the history of Oklahoma politics and Oklahoma politics in general as anybody I know. So, Charlie Meadows, welcome to our broadcast today. It is our pleasure to have you on with us.
Thank you, Paul and Dan. And just a little bit of aside here. The last time I was actually on this program was the primary elections of 2018. And I came on and talked about the so-called medical marijuana and other races at that time. But anyway, I've been on broadcasting many times with Joseph Palmer, taking some of the guests in to that program. I try not to say very much because those guests, the quality of guests that we brought in here are so good that people really benefit more from hearing from them than they do from me. But really great to be on this show again.
So what you're saying is that Paul and I should be quiet and allow you to do most of the time. I'm just kidding.
Charlie,
Dan, I think it's set up that way, actually.
Dan and I both know the answer to this, but our audience doesn't. Now, we have identified the game that's played in Republican Party politics in the state of Oklahoma, what we call as RINOs, Republicans in name only. They campaign as strong, conservative, free market, Christian, pro-life candidates, but then once they're in office, nothing seems to get done. Actually, there has been a lot coming to light recently. Certainly some individuals that I am well aware of that came against me when I was running for office 10 years ago. But Charlie, tell us, if there was a single person or a single entity that seemed to be the biggest obstacle right now to Oklahoma truly being a bastion of conservatism and conservative values, what would you say the roadblock is?
Well, I believe that probably one of the most powerful and corrupt, this is my opinion, individuals in the state of Oklahoma is a political consultant by the name of Fount Holland.
Fount Holland.
Mm-hmm. Now, Fount Holland basically is one of the best word crafters that there is. He's God's gifted him with a skill to communicate. Unfortunately, without high-quality character, You take those skills and you become self-serving with them. And I'm of the opinion right now that ultimately what happens is Fount Holland has become known as a kingmaker. And he cares about power and wealth. So he uses those skills to ingratiate himself with tons and tons of money. And in so doing, two things happen. He goes out and he recruits certain types of candidates to run for office. And many times when he recruits these candidates, they are people that he is confident he can exert a certain amount of control over their lives as to how they govern and things like that. Probably need to talk about one more thing here. Before the Republicans gained control of the state legislature and governor at the same time, before that ever occurred, the Democrats were in control virtually the entire history of this state. Republicans had the House in 1920-21, didn't gain control again until 2004. Republicans never had control of the Senate until 2008. That's 101 years after statehood.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, there was a tremendous amount of corruption, good old boyism, payoffs, and things like that. And you had a lot of special interest groups. Just remember, we are budgeting and spending, you know, $20-plus billion a year from state government, counting what comes in from the federal government that's that's entitled or designated for certain things. That's a lot of money. And there are people that want to get a hold of that money. Special interest groups. They want to ingratiate themselves. And so those groups, once the Democrats lost control, they began to move to try to get the same benefits from the Republicans.
Right.
And so you've got a person out here that I believe is very skilled and very much responsible for delivering that type of information. In recent times, and I'm talking particularly over the last couple of months, we have been seeing some of the techniques that Fount Holland and others associated with him use to bring to power certain people, and that will make sure that people with a lot of money and power are benefited by government. Fount himself benefits. He makes tons of money at this, and he becomes very powerful. He's known as a kingmaker, and as such, if a candidate is wanting to run for office, he likely is going to hire Fount because he has a very high success rate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the problem is Fount doesn't care if what he writes about someone is 95% truth or 3% truth. The man is capable of absolutely fabricating falsehoods.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely fabricating falsehoods. And so when you have that kind of skill and that kind of talent, and of course these are my opinions, my observations that I'm talking about here, but when you have that kind of skill and that kind of talent, then you can use that, and then you become kind of the focus of all these special interest groups, leadership at the and everyone else that's wanting to get you to run candidates that will be friendly to leadership, keep certain leadership in power, keep this thing. So it's a big central swamp is what it is. It's an Oklahoma swamp. And it's just simply relocated from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. That doesn't mean all Republicans are bad. You have some really good Republicans.
You're right about that.
That would like to clean that swamp up. But it's very difficult for them to get in office because you've got Fount Holland out here. He certainly ran the campaign for your opponent,
Paul, when
you ran, Clark Jolly, and he was running the campaign for your opponent.
Yes, he was.
Dan, and you won that one. It was close.
It was.
But you won that race, yes. And so if we were to go just in the runoffs, if we were to go down the list of the candidates that he's running campaigns for, you would be shocked. I noticed the other day I was at a meeting, And our friend Jenny White has done a lot of research in this. And I believe in the House, of the 11 or 12 leaders in the House, I think Fount Pauling candidates are 7 or 8 of them, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken,
wow.
of the leadership. And over in the Senate, it's not quite as many. It's about 5, I believe, mm-hmm. with some more pending. But if you look and see what their positions of leadership are, they're the 4 or 5 most powerful leaders in the Senate. And so it's he's become very clever at hiding himself, mm-hmm. working with a lot of associates and things like that. But I look forward to the day that we can actually expose him more and more for what he has done to this state. And I look forward to the day that more and more people in the state of Oklahoma understand him, who he is, how he operates. And if we can get to that day, it may start becoming a liability to have Fount Pauling for your strategist, for your campaign consultant.
There's been some alt media come out against that's exposed him recently. Let me share my quick story, and then we'll come back and ask you this question so you can be thinking about it. Okay. Is it just Fount, or is Fount working on behalf of some power brokers? What is his motivation? Just money, or is it control? You come back to that. But when I was running for office in 2012, I was running against a guy named Clark Jolly, who's also running against our friend Todd Russ. Yeah. I wouldn't vote for Clark Jolly. This is just my opinion. You can vote who you want. I wouldn't vote for Clark Jolly if he was the only man on the ballot. I would just choose not to vote. I'd choose none of the above. You know, I learned about his character running against him. You know, he ran and he built himself as well. He said, oh, he's a Baptist preacher and I'm a Baptist preacher and he's conservative and I'm a conservative. He's Republican pro-life. Baloney. I mean, he managed to fit in times down at the Capitol between his illicit trysts when he was cheating on his wife, but he is in no way in any form similar to me.
Oh, could but you tell Fount, us how you really Fount, think?
Well, it's important our people know who these snakes are. Fount Holland, I believe, is the underbelly of the lowest reptile on the planet. When we were, it looked like we were going to knock off Clark. Because, you know, let's face it, I've grown up in Edmond. One time the Edmond paper had me, I was called Hometown Hero. They did so much charitable events for our community as a professional football player. But then when I became a conservative Christian, well, then I stepped into the camp of the opposition. So anyway, they were running commercials that had about a 0.5% of truth to it. And they spun it, as you said, Fount's craftsmanship, mm-hmm. but they were accusing me of being a tax cheat. In 29 years of running a private business, there was 1 year we failed to turn in our annual franchise report, which is not a tax. It's simply a list of corporate officers and a $25 filing fee. Just a way for the state to make an extra $25 is what it is.
Exactly.
But it was nothing. The Oklahoma Tax Commission came out and said, there's no taxes due, Blair's in no violation, nothing. They, with Aubrey McClendon, who's now deceased, mm-hmm. Clay Bennett, the Indian tribes, some others, they wound up running a super PAC, raised $1 million, and they were running commercials even on bot radio around this Christian ministry, calling me a tax cheat, and that's why I was after Clark Jolly. Now, why in the world, if I was a tax, would I want to go after Clark Jolly? What does that have to do one to the other? But it's amazing how all those allegations went away after the campaign was over and I wound up losing.
Well, we were just mistaken.
Exactly. But Fount Holland, tell us about Fount. Go ahead.
Before Charlie answers your question, I think one of the reasons this works so well, I think Charlie would agree, is the general uninformed nature of the electorate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
People don't know. And so these politicians are either taught or they instinctively know just the right buttons to push and the right phrases to use when they're campaigning. Now, that's all gone once they get elected, but the people don't know. They don't know. Most people would Fount Holland's name. Who is this?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're trying to do, Dan. Yeah, we're trying to inform the bot radio listeners. We're trying to make them the most informed constituents in the state of Oklahoma.
And let me just say, those of you that are used to living in ministry, we've got to be Christians living in this world, and we've got to be effective as salt and light, and recognize that Jesus and you look at any great leader of truth throughout Scripture, going all the way back to Moses. They used some harsh language.
Wise as serpents, harmless as doves.
Jesus called the Pharisees whited sepulchres, which is about as nasty a thing as you could call a Pharisaical Jew. Called them hypocrites, called them snakes.
Liars.
Which when you go back to the garden and recognize the role that the snake played.
Calls him the son of Satan.
There's nothing that I have said about being the underbelly of a reptile that...
That would have
caused the Lord to blush, I can assure you.
Okay,
tell
so
us.
It's Charlie.
Okay.
Who's behind Fount? What's going on?
I don't believe anyone is behind Fount. I think Fount is all about himself. However, he works in conjunction with and for people who want things. Mm-hmm. They're using him, he uses them. That's what I believe. Let me jump into this race that you just mentioned with Todd Russ and Clark Jolly. There are, and in full disclosure, I will tell you that years ago I used to send information to Todd Russ to better educate him as he was getting ready to run for this. He was the minority partner of two people that bought the bank, Ouachita State Bank, from my stepmother. And so I've known Todd for a long time, and when I saw these commercials with Ouachita State Bank in there, suggesting that Todd was an inadequate banker, that the FDIC had come down and given bad grades and everything, I just called Todd up because I was pretty sure that I knew why he left that bank. Mm-hmm. His senior partner has been on the shaky list several times with bank regulators, you know.
Yeah.
And I just don't think Todd wanted to have anything more to do with that. But actually, I called Todd up, and he said, Charlie, he said, I'd already left that bank a year before the FDIC came down and issued that on the current people that run the bank. So do you see how you can take just a little bit of truth, twist it, and make it absolutely wrong?
Yeah.
Now, let's go to Clark Jolly for a minute.
Can I say
sure,
something about
sure.
Todd? I served in the legislature with Todd Russ, and let me tell you what, I don't know a finer man alive than Todd Russ.
Yeah.
I would stand with Todd anywhere. Is he perfect? No, none of us are.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, Todd Russ is a great man.
So let's go to this other race, and I'm going to mention your race back with Clark Jolly. For the first time in the history of Oklahoma, $800,000 was spent, dark money, campaign contributions, and everything. $800,000 was spent in a primary election only to keep you out of office.
For a state Senate race.
Yeah. Yes.
That's a compliment to you.
That's how much they feared you getting in there. Now, with all that said, and you probably don't know this, when Randy Brogdon was first elected, that was the same time Clark Jolly was first elected, and we had the Brogdons spend the night with us, and I invited Todd and his wife and his two girls over for breakfast. So the four adults and the two girls were there for breakfast, and I got to know Clark fairly well.
Mm-hmm.
A little later on, some years later on, he had an affair with a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife divorced him.
Mm-hmm.
There was no repentance on his part. Mm-hmm. She divorced him. He was playing a musical instrument. I don't remember if it was piano or organ for one of the large Baptist churches here. They fired him.
Mm-hmm.
Today, he's married to that woman. Now, he's a bright fella. There's no doubt about that. And he's served a lot of positions in there. And He has the equipment it takes to do that job. He doesn't have the moral character to be in that job.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And that's a reason, and the fact that he would allow an ad to be run that's so misleading in this is just the
example. But therein lies the problem.
Yes.
You take just a little bit of truth and twist it, which makes it a horrible lie because it's just enough truth.
Well, guys, we're going to spend another day. We got about 3.5 minutes here, and we're going to spend our next broadcast. We'll talk about some of these runoff races and even make some recommendations that we are going to be supporting. But I think one thing that we should be aware of is when you get a campaign mailer or when you get or see something on television, make sure and put on your critical thinking cap. I'm amazed at how gifted they are, like Found Holland, at mm-hmm. misleading you. Mm-hmm. During the last primary where Gettner Drummond beat John O'Connor, mm-hmm. right. I had received a mailer, and I looked at it real quickly. Even with my trained eye after my mm-hmm. years of experience of this thing, I looked at it and I thought, my goodness, Donald Trump is supporting Gettner Drummond? And there's a picture of Trump and Drummond shaking hands, and I just tossed it down and I went on because I was busy. Came back and looked at it later, and of course that was the impression they wanted you to believe. Mm-hmm. But it actually was just a situation where Drummond just took a photo with Trump at some event that Trump happened to be at. Trump didn't even know him from Adam. And yeah. the endorsement written over there in personal handwriting was Gettner Drummond endorsing himself, but it was made to look like it was an endorsement by Donald Trump. And then down at the bottom in very fine print, it said, this is no way is an endorsement of Donald Trump. But it's, you know what that is? That's a lie. That's when you're exactly misleading right. people, you are lying to people. And if you will lie to people to get into office, you will lie to people once you're in office. So character absolutely does matter.
I tell people that a partial truth told to deceive is a whole
yeah, that's
lie.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. Most voters just aren't sophisticated enough
to know
that.
No.
And they're easily persuaded, they're easily deceived.
We got a minute and a half before we and then next episode we will talk about the candidates themselves. But let me ask you, is there anybody, is it just a general rule of thumb, if Fount Holland is representing a candidate, you should vote for the other guy?
I'm close.
Okay.
I'm not there yet, but I'm close to that. And there's a couple of reasons. I'm not quite there yet, but I'm very close.
What is the name of his group?
It used to be AH Strategies, and he got in trouble with Joey Hoffmeister. They had charges filed against them. Everybody backed away from him. So once those charges were dropped, then he comes up with a new group, CAMP. It's called CAMP, Campaign. I'm not sure what that's.
CAMP.
Yeah, CAMP. So if you see CAMP involved anywhere, but again, he has lots of affiliates and associates that he's got on little puppet strings that he's out there controlling
right.
too. He's
right.
slick at trying to avoid being pinned down.
Well, in our next broadcast, we will actually look at some of these primary runoff races, and we will explore them, and we will give you our recommendations. So make sure and tune in Monday, because Tuesday is Election Day. And we have a privilege. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the only Christians in Christian history that haven't been persecuted because of our faith. That wasn't by accident. It was by design. Our forefathers gave us this gift of liberty, and we must retain it at the county level, at the state level, and hopefully we can get it back at the federal level. But make sure that we are savvy sons of Issachar, having understanding of the times. Well, thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.